Nobody's really sure what's happening right now. The world of baseball, as is everything else, at a standstill. The Braves manager, Brian Snitker, kind enough to join us right now on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line here on the Fan. Snit, thanks for coming on. How you doing, all things considered?
All things considered, we're doing great. I'm on my second cup of coffee here this morning, I'm excited about – I got a new battery for my handheld vacuum, so I can't wait to make a trek around the living room here.
Yeah, opening day in Arizona, the handheld vac, it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's the same type of stress, you know. That's, wake up this morning just hoping that when I hung it up on the wall that it recharged.
Hey, Snit, you want the good news or the bad news?
Give me the bad news, I guess.
You lost last night 4-3 in MLB The Show that we ran right here on our 680 The Fan YouTube. It was a tough one, but you guys, now you want the good news?
Yeah, good news.
You got 161 left, so we're going to, I don't think it's really going to put you guys in that big a hole, but it was not a great night last night. You did drop that opener 4-3.
But you can always, in this game, hit the reset button, literally.
No, I know, and we have before. We did last year.
Very true. Brian Snitker with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. In all seriousness, day to day, tell the folks what communication has been like between you, perhaps some of the players, Alex Anthopoulos, what have you.
Phone calls, texts, things like that. Not a lot. I mean, really, there isn't a whole lot to talk about other than how's everybody doing. You know, you just hope everybody's safe, everybody's healthy. But other than that, you know, I talked with Alex the other day, and it's more about what we're doing differently in our lives. You know, I mean, we're at home, and he has children living with him. My grandkids are away. We're still really haven't seen them since we've been back, just because of the fact that we came in from Florida. And, like I say, not a lot going on, really. I mean, it's not a new normal we all like. I mean, it's, I walk the neighborhood and I feel for my neighbors and everybody's out. And it's kind of like, it's funny, you watch the two ladies walking together and they're on either sides of the road when they're doing their walks. You know, I'm running into the people here that are teachers and they're feeling the same way we are. Their systems are on go. I mean, they miss their kids. They miss what they do. Everybody is away from work and working from home, which is not what we're all geared to do. I listen to my daughter talks to me, and she's in communication with her comrades at the hospital. I mean, she's pregnant, so they've kept her away. But, you know, she's living through those girls that are, you know, going through this at the hospital, and it's not fun. So it's something we'll get through and hopefully you're stronger for it's not fun for any of us, let alone the baseball people.
Yeah, Snit, you can talk about what used to be, and we've discussed this with you. If you go back to the 70s, I think the one thing that maybe you have less to worry about is that guys are going to do what they need to do to stay in shape. Let's be honest, in the 70s and 80s, when guys were smoking cigarettes right up until the first day of spring training, I'm not sure you knew what the hell they might have been doing now. The idea of guys being smart about this, is that what you're entrusting them to be as much as anything else?
Yeah, and you know what? In our group of guys, I mean, it's they're going to find a way. They're going to find somewhere to go. They are working out. I mean, it's they have too much invested in this to just let it go. It's hard for them. And it's different than the winter workouts that they're in because of the mode that these guys were in. I mean, they were on go. We had. We had a group of young pitchers that were starting to get it. I mean, they were figuring things out and they were feeling really good about themselves. And up until the day that we left Florida, I mean, they're on the mound throwing and trying to keep things going. And I know they're figuring ways out to do that the best they can here and now. But like I say, the guys, they're going to stay in shape. They're going to keep going the best they can, and they're not, like I say, it's a different mentality than what it would have been and when they start hitting the 1st of December. I mean, it's just because it is.
Nobody really knows, but best guesstimate on your part, how long would it really take if they say we all get together on whatever day it is, how long do you think we could say play ball in a major league game to ensure health, safety, of players and them being ready to play, not the fan part,
yeah.
but those guys being
ready
to play.
I'll be honest with you, I really don't know. I mean, I know that when they put this thing together, you know, we're going to be getting, I mean, there's no doubt, I think, that, you know, we're going to be stretching guys out and all during games that count, you know, and you know, I don't know. I really don't know. You know, I've been asked that before, and you know, one side of me thinks one thing, another side is we probably, you know, I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I don't even want to speculate on that.
Brian Snicker with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. It may be a question that doesn't have an answer, but at this point, do you worry more about the younger players or the veteran players?
I worry about both. I mean, you know, and I don't know. I don't know that I'm worried about them. The system is going to be such that we're going to protect these guys. We always do. Everything is done for the health of the player. I don't worry that much about as far as health of these guys any more than I do if we go 6 weeks in spring training and you know, and we start a season, injuries are a part of it. I don't think you're going to be able to point a finger if, you know, guys get hurt, because it's guy, that's part of this game and what we do. So I'm not really worried, once we get going, that these guys aren't going to be ready, or because the industry is going to do everything in its power for the health of these players.
Snit, you have to have a certain persona to make your way up. If you're good enough to be drafted, good enough to get paid $10 in the minor leagues or whatever it was back in the day, and still to this day, how much do you believe now, this many years later, you can look in a guy's eye or look at him out of the corner of your eye and see a demeanor that says, he gets it? You just said you thought your young guys, your pitchers, were in a place to be getting it. How much of that do you now have as an innate thing? Like, you can see a guy and have a really good idea of whether he's in a good place or not.
No, you can't. You know what? You talk to these guys. You look them in the eye. The answers that they give you, how they carry themselves. I saw it this year. Like you said, I saw it with some of our young pitchers. I saw it with some guys that we had up the last couple of years, and they came into camp, and you can just see, I don't know what, you know what, it's that it thing. I always talk about, some teams have it, and that it, you don't know how we got it, but it's teams that have that it, and you're not really sure how it was manufactured. Some of these players, when they get it or when they have it, you just know, you sense that. And, you know, I think the more you're around, the more you're with guys, cause then you can see, you can spot a phony, I mean, in like 10 seconds.
It's interesting. Were there times in the minor leagues when a guy would be drafted pretty high and you'd sit back and you go, oh God, I'm not so sure that this guy really has what we're talking about right now. I don't care if he's a first, second, third round pick. He might not be prepared for this. He doesn't carry himself the way that somebody should.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You do see that. And we had talked about it all the time, you know, and it's like you work through those guys and you know what, when you look back, and because you know, obviously you've made a huge investment in those guys, and you go the full gamut with them and trying to get something out of that investment, and because somebody saw something in that player. So, you know, you owe it to that man that was out there beating the bushes and finding this kid, and is to an organization that you go the extra mile for a guy that you got a lot of money in and things like that. And I don't mean you do anything. The thing is, to go in the extra mile, I mean, you know, that guy stays around a while. And but, you know, if you keep working with those guys, and it's just like, you know what, this isn't going to happen, boys. I'm telling you, it's not going to happen, and you wish it would, and then you make comparisons. It's like, God, I wish that kid over there had this guy's talent, because all the underlying things and the makeup that he has, man, we'd have something here, but it just doesn't work that way all the time.
A guy you're really close to, and Mark Lemke, I think Baseball America said he's like the greatest 26th round pick ever. Like, if you could take 6 ounces of that guy and inject it into some other guys, that's what you're talking about.
Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And that kid, I'm telling you, it's would you like to have, you know, 25 of those on your roster? Absolutely. God, I remember, you know, back in the day when I took Limmer to Sumter, it was like, oh my God, you know, it's like, and a guy like Limber, probably wouldn't look at him today in today's game, because he doesn't have all these, you know, if you graded him out, he probably wouldn't have the great tools that they're looking for. But this guy could sure play baseball, had a heart and just determination and grit and everything that you look for in a ball player. That's a good, you know, you look at him, you look at, you know, where Marcus Giles was drafted when we got him and the rise that kid had. I use that all the time because I said I saw Glenn Hubbard make this guy a player. I mean, I hit the ground balls and I watched it and I know it can happen. And that's why it's like for me as a developer and a baseball guy, you know, you hard work, you can do hard work. You don't have to be that gifted guy. You can work hard and make yourself a player because I've seen guys do it.
You talk about all you've seen. Brian Snicker, by the way, Braves manager with us on the Loud Security Systems newsmaker line, being a lifer pretty much in this system. Does it mean that what happens now on the field with you being the manager is even more personal for you because you're representing an organization you've been a part of pretty much your entire adult life?
Yeah. No, I think it does. And I don't know that I understood the impact of that till I got here, and I've been here a while now. Because I got a lot invested in this place over the last 44 years and it is a different feel and the responsibility to an organization, to a fan base, to a country, you know, to a state, a region, the whole thing. And it's big and it's big. And I don't know that I even understood the scope of it until I got this job.
Snit, were you a guy, Illinois, correct?
Yeah, Central Illinois.
More country or more city?
It was country. God, my backyard was a field. I mean, over Christmas break, I'd walk out the back door and with your shotgun and go pheasant hunting. And, you baled hay, you walked beans, you detasseled corn. Those were the summer jobs.
How old are you? What was this, 1842?
I'm a young 64.
Are you amazed then? I don't know your first time in the big city. And you and I, we had an interesting conversation a few years ago about the summer jobs and, winter jobs and all that. All those. Are you amazed at big city life, country life, and the idea that baseball brings everybody together, including people from other countries?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was like I grew up in Cardinal country. I mean, there was diehard, hard Cardinal fans where, you know, I grew up. My dad was from Chicago, so I kind of ended up being a Cub fan, just watching WGN all the time. There was something the other day I read about a minor leaguer said, well, I haven't had a paycheck since last year. I'm thinking, oh, didn't you work? I mean, we when the minor league season was over, we got jobs. That kind of like struck a chord with me that's a difference now that I think that even the minor league guys are so, you know, they train and all year round and they don't work. And, you know, we used to, I worked in a pipe yard in Morgan City, Louisiana, one off season. I built houses one off season. I worked on a beer truck. We had jobs in the, yeah, that sounds like Bobby was telling me about when he was in the big league. You know, he'd have to get a job to make ends meet in off season, and so it is. It's a big, big difference.
Finishing up with Brian Snicker, I know that we keep saying nothing's off the table when it comes to everything in society, sports included. Right now, your thoughts on the possibility of more doubleheaders being played, possibly 7-inning games as well?
Well, I'm for whatever baseball decides. I mean, you know, we'll adjust and adapt to whatever the commissioner, the powers that be. I know these guys are working every day, unbelievably long days, and getting together on their conference calls and putting everything together. So I'm for whatever we do. I'm just, you know, I'll be so excited when we just start playing baseball again and whatever parameters that they have for us. Well, again, we've adjusted and adapted to a lot of new normals, and we'll continue to do so.
We put forth that the idea that the Braves bullpen being refurbished last year at the trade deadline to what you guys did in the offseason. I think it's amazing to say this about where at times last year we were worried about the bullpen. But I think it could be the best piece that you have in a shortened season if these guys are fresher to be as good as they at least look on paper. If I was going to say, give me one place you'd like to be really strong if it is less than 162 games, am I correct in saying the bullpen is the place that I'm picking first?
Yeah, absolutely. And I another piece to this, I think, is organizational depth is going to come into play because it's going to take a lot of guys to get through this, as we know when we start. And I think we're going to be dealing from a strength within that, too, as far as just the depth that we have in our organization. But, yeah, no, you're absolutely right on the bullpen thing.
All right, Snit, listen, make sure that hand vac is charged. Make sure that you do what Ronnie asked you to do, and hopefully we're back to baseball.
At 2 o'clock today, give me just an idea of what you might be doing at 2 o'clock today.
we're in the basement doing projects. And you know what I'm going to be doing? My daughter's 6 and a half, her baby, so I'm going to be putting together infant cribs that we kind of unearthed now that we're going to be fresh grandparents again. So that's what I'm going to be doing.
Well, congratulations on that. And, again, we thank you for coming on with us. We'll talk to you down the road, Snit.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Brian Snicker joining us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line.